Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
I was so anxious. I couldn't sleep. I never used to get nervous. I don't get nervous for most things, and I couldn't sleep for a few days. And there's probably about, I think, 20 players that were pretty close. You have an idea, and you're kind of fighting with somebody for the spot, and you know, it's tough on the people that don't make it. It's I've been in that shoe before. You know, being dropped, it's not cool. But you got to deal with it, and life throws you these challenges that you have to deal with. And but I actually missed the call.
Oh no, I can't believe it.
I was in the shower.
The wrong place to be.
I was actually in the shower, and I kind of had an idea. So that night I slept terribly because I knew that morning I was on my way to Cape Town, and they were announcing the side in Cape Town. But I was going announcing the T20 squad against West Indies, so I was going to Cape Town for that reason. Mm. But I had to pack in a black pants and a white shirt and black shoes just in case, which was nerve wracking because you don't want to preempt anything, but you had to do it just in case. And I was in the shower, and I saw the missed call on my phone, and it was the coach, Russell Domingo. When you look at this, then his name comes up. So when you see one missed call and you go to open your phone and you see the coach's name there, your heart sinks. And immediately you think it's only going to be one of two things. And immediately, but I think it's human nature to think that it's the worst possible case scenario, which means that, sorry, Ferran, you haven't made the squad. We've gone for another option. And when I called him back, he actually made a joke. He was like, "Is this the time to call? Why did you miss my call?" So I'm like, "Sorry, coach, I was in the shower. Like, I didn't mean to miss your call." And he's like, "Are you feeling? Are you okay?" So he gave me like, he started chatting about something else, and I just wanted to tell me, like, I was so over it. I was so like over being anxious and nervous. And so he said, he just kept talking, and he was like, "Listen, you were part of the World Cup squad.
Wow.
Congratulations, you know, you're an integral part, and I'll see you later in Cape Town." And I called my mom immediately, you know, my dad, my brother, all the closest people to me, and my mom, my dad never picked up.
Miss call.
my brother actually picked up.
Yeah, so he was the first.
He was the first person I called. Amazing. And then my mom and my dad, and they never picked up. And then he called them all. And wow. I was flying to Cape Town anyway that day. The first T20 against West Indies was in Cape Town on Friday the 9th of Jan. So we flew up on the Wednesday, flew down on the Wednesday morning on the 7th. And that was when the World Cup squad was announced in the afternoon at the waterfront. So going back to the phone call, I actually missed the phone call.
Unbelievable. Did you jump back into the shower afterwards?
I was actually so relieved there. It was more just a sense of relief. Mm. And then it only started to hit me like in the days to come.
Wow. Amazing. So, and we didn't know at that stage.
No.
You had to live with that as well. You had to get on that flight, fly down, and you couldn't actually phone the newspapers or whatever. You had to. Okay. Brilliant stuff so far. We are giving away that autographed shirt of yours. Dries Dreyer, congratulations. We bowled him out. So Dries, you're not out for a duck, don't worry. We are going to phone you tomorrow, and we will organize that autographed Protea shirt number 28 on the back. We'll be right back. And somebody is blowing kisses. Fudgy somebody, Mishibas. I don't know who Mishibas is, but that's quite interesting. Blowing kisses. There we go. One for me and one for you. So, Farhan, we are so proud of you. The story that you told, how to get there from humble beginnings, with, you know, your parents must have been so proud and still today, but now the fight really starts. Now, you know, you played in the World Cup. First of all, what was the moment that you enjoyed the most at the World Cup? That moment where you did something that you were proud of, or the team?
I think my final game was a pretty special moment to me. It was at the Cake Tin in Wellington against the UAE, and Faf was injured, and our team was maybe got 99 that particular game. And our team was on our way to score about 280 runs. And, you know, you just never know. We needed to win that game. And played one of the best innings of my life. Got 64 not out of 31 balls. And got our team into a very strong position that there was no chance that they were ever going to win. But with 280, you never know. One guy gets 80 of 60 balls and they get close and... pressure's a weird thing, and so for me to contribute to my team's success, especially in a World Cup game, you know, that moment will always hold dear to me.
And New Zealand,
yes.
What did you guys feel like? I mean, AB, I know once again today in India, people are going absolutely crazy. What did he get, 66 today?
Yeah, he smoked them today.
Now, he was so positive right through. Every interview he did, yeah. He said, listen, we can do it. What is it like to play with somebody that is so positive? How did he lift the team when you guys were down there? You know, the whole of South Africa, all your fans, we want you to win. You can't lose this one. We're behind you. That pressure, what was it like?
I don't think we felt it that much, the pressure, so to say. We definitely felt the support. We started our Protea Fire campaign and quite a while before the World Cup started, and that gave us the public and the viewers and the people who loved the game just an insight into who we were as people and you know, into Ash and Faf and AB, all, you know, Dale Steyn, and people, you see them on TV playing cricket, but they didn't get to know the people. We did lots of ads and just quite sentimental stuff and stuff that was close to our heart, you know. Mm. And AB was very inspirational in that, and he led from the front with that in that regard. And I think we all know he's a very passionate person. He's very passionate about our country, South Africa. He breathes, eats, and sleeps South Africa, you know. I think he goes to bed and calls his ukulele in his head. So he inspires a lot of us, and that's just a small part. You know, his talent alone on the field is second to none. You know, we follow him into battle every opportunity, and he inspires me to be a better leader within my... like within my surroundings. So at the Titans, you know, I want to become a leader like AB. You know, he instills that type of leadership that not many people can do. And he keeps us positive because he's so passionate about our country and he's so passionate about doing well. And he wanted to, you know, we wanted to be the person to lead us to win that World Cup, you know, for our country. Our country is... it's hurting a little bit, you know. It's taking a bit of strain, and you know, World Cup might not have healed our country, but it would have gone a long way to, you know. See, we saw what happened in the 2007 and the 1995 World Cup, and the rugby sides won. Mm. You know, it provided a sense of camaraderie within our nation and stuff. And I think he was more just hurt because it was something that he really wanted to do at this part, especially in this, you know, in what's been happening over the last year or so. And he doesn't lose very often in general at anything, whether it be a card game or a golf game or a game of tennis, game of hand tennis, whatever, football. He gets so upset in warm-ups when we lose at football, foot volley, or whatever the case may be. So that's just the type of person that he is, and we take a massive leaf out of his book. And we all hurt, like he hurt. He was very brave of him. You know, he took a lot of the blame on himself, which is very selfless. We'd all do it in a heartbeat, especially after that New Zealand game. You know, we'd all take it on ourselves, and a lot of people copped a lot of flack. But for the most part of it, we felt the nation's support. You know, the nation Might not have shed a tear, but it was definitely sad, you know, almost a time of mourning in that particular period. And through all of that, you know, he was still very positive and he was still, you could see he was hurting, but he still put on a brave face. And I think that's what true leadership is about. You know, you never hid his emotions.
The worst thing is getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can't have a beer and then you guys lose. I mean, it's not just.
Well, you can have a beer.
It's very, very difficult. Now, let's talk about, you did something very special. Now, I'm not sure many people know this. After New Zealand won, it was the first time, right? Have they ever won a World Cup?
No.
So, everybody was also going, wow, they deserve it. You know, they're at home. You guys did something very special after the game. Tell us about it.
So, after the New Zealand semi-final, for about 45 minutes, we're in the change room, and it was a pretty sad change room. We all just sat in our seats, and nobody said a word. And you know, as the guys, whoever's families were left over. So, like Morne's wife was there, Abe's wife was there for the whole duration, and then a few of the families. So, like Russell's, our coach's wife was there, and Quentin's girlfriend. So there's like a few of the wives and girlfriends and the families that were there, and they came into the change room and. Shame and
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Check around.